Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Hello, and welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. This episode, you're going to hear about this month's new releases in Christian romantic suspense. I hope you will enjoy hearing from your favorite romantic suspense authors as they talk about the background of their latest books.
I'm delighted that Amanda Cabot is going to be sharing about her newest romantic suspense, Into the Starlight. So welcome to my show, Amanda.
Thanks so much for inviting me, Sarah. I'm delighted to be here.
So let's dive right in with your heroine. What did she want to be when she grew up in this story, and did she become that person?
Well, she wanted to become a concert pianist, which is sort of an unusual thing for a woman in the 19th century, but she was well on her way to doing that. Joanna was studying in Europe with the maestros. She was doing really well, but then she caught scarlet fever. And as if that wasn't bad enough, it turned into pneumonia, the result of which was that although she got better, she was never going to be well enough for the strain of concert touring. So, no, she didn't really achieve her goal.
Well, that's kind of sad, Amanda. I'm sure you've had good reasons.
I found ways to give her other things to do, but we don't want to spoil that now.
No, we don't. So let's switch to your hero. And even though we write about manly men, they still have fears. So what is your hero's greatest fear in this story?
Burke is a doctor. And we're in the 19th century. That's well before medical malpractice suits and all of that. But he has this incredible fear of making a mistake that will harm or possibly kill a patient. And that can paralyze him at times.
Yeah, and I'm sure that he sees that all around him, and given what we now know about medicine, what they didn't then, I'm sure that adds a lot of layers of tension. The reader's like, wash your hands! Stuff like that.
Well, all right, so how about the instruments?
Yes, right, exactly. Good common sense. So let's switch to the setting. Why this particular setting for this story?
Most of my books are set in the Texas Hill Country, which is where this one is, and for a number of reasons. I love the Hill Country. Now, there are many beautiful places in Texas, but to me, the Hill Country is the most beautiful. On top of that, it has interesting history that I can weave in, and just as importantly, that setting really appeals to readers.
Yeah, people do like Texas settings, so no matter what century we're talking about. Let's talk about the underlying positive message, because I know as Christian romantic suspense writers, whether we're writing contemporary or like you are historical, we often can interweave those positive messages. So what is the underlying positive message of Into the Starlight?
That there are always second chances. Second chances at love and second chances at life itself.
Ah, I love that, Amanda. That's such a great message, and we can't hear it enough, can we?
I don't think so. I mean, it's something, you kind of wonder, how do people get up every day if they don't believe that there are second chances and that justice will prevail? And you got to have a positive attitude.
Definitely. Well, we are out of time for these short interviews, but tell us the tagline for Into the Starlight.
Neither of their lives has turned out the way they planned, and they certainly never planned on each other.
Ah, I love that. Well, thank you again, Amanda, for sharing about Into the Starlight.
Thank you for inviting me.
Now I'm talking with Virginia Vaughn with her latest romantic suspense, Texas Ranch Cold Case. So welcome back to my show, Virginia.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about your heroine. How did she feel about love at the beginning of your story?
Oh, she is very cynical at the beginning of the story. She just found out a whole bunch of stuff about her mother's disappearance, and particularly the hero's family's role in her mother's disappearance. So she's very cynical about people in general, but romance especially.
And what about your hero? What's holding him back from finding love in this story?
Well, he has been dealing with his own issues. He's been estranged from his family for quite a long time, and now he's suspecting that his grandfather has actually, you know, been involved in this woman's disappearance, and he's kind of wanting to redeem his family, but also himself. He kind of feels a little unworthy of love and deserving of it.
And so what about your villain? What does your villain love the most in this story?
Well, like most villains, I would have to say that he or she loves himself or herself the most. It's just looking to keep their past in the past, you know, keep their past deeds a secret.
Okay, and what about the setting? I'm guessing Texas from the title, but why did you pick this particular setting for your book?
Okay, so the setting does take place in a fictional small town in Texas. I set up, this is book four in a series, and so the series has been set up around this ranch, Harmon Ranch, that my hero and his cousins all inherit. So that was kind of built into the series already. The ranch setting and the Texas setting. So I was just continuing that on, you know.
Right. And well, what about this particular story? Why this story made you want to write it?
Well, like I said, this is the last book in the series, and I was really excited leading up to this story because I have put in a storyline in like book one and followed it through all the stories. I was very excited. It's my first time to actually do that. And so this was like the culmination of that little storyline. And so I was very happy to get to wrap that up. You know, I have read stories that you put something in there and then you never hear about it again. So I was very excited to get to wrap up that multi-book kind of storyline.
Oh, yes, that can be fun when we do series like that. So we're going to close our short time together, Virginia, with what is the tagline for Texas Ranch Cold Case?
Okay, the tagline for Texas Ranch Cold Case is solving a decades-old crime will leave no place safe.
Oh, I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing about your book on my show today.
Well, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
I now have Lori Winter. She's going to tell us about her latest romantic suspense, Hunted by a Killer. So welcome to my show, Lori.
Thanks, Sarah, for having me.
Let's start with the heroine and her name. Why did you want to pick this particular name for your heroine in this story?
I really don't know. A lot of times my characters, the names just kind of come to me. You know, you kind of think of a name, you throw it out, think of a name, throw it out. The heroine for Hunted by a Killer is named Charlotte, and I kind of thought it was a contradiction to the kind of character she is. So when I think of Charlotte, I think of somebody, you know, old-fashioned name, somebody maybe sweet, feminine, gentle, and Charlotte Reed, the detective in Hunted by a Killer, is kind of none of those things. She had a very traumatic childhood, which made her tough. She lost her sister to the press killer, and so she is pretty closed off and not necessarily sweet or gentle. And maybe she would get that way after the story is over and she has her, you know, concluding the hunting of the killer and and has found love. But for right in the story, she is definitely not sweet and gentle.
Okay. Yeah, I love that. That's I love how we can give those contrasts with names for our characters. So let's talk about your hero. Where did he grow up?
I did not address Austin's upbringing in the book too much. I did give him some backstory as far as his beginning in the FBI and a mentor. But if I had to kind of imagine where Austin would grow up, I kind of picture him being born wearing a black suit and dark sunglasses, like he was kind of destined for the FBI, maybe East Coast, maybe Metro D.C. area. I kind of picture him that he was always kind of that person that was trying to solve problems and maybe in that he was always destined to be part of the FBI.
Oh, cool. So let's switch to your villain. And this is such a fun question, I think. What's the last book or movie your villain read or watched?
Yeah, this was a good question. It really made me think. So I picked The Devil in the White City by Eric Larson. I have not read the book myself, but I would think the press killer would, which is a villain and hunted by a killer, would really connect with the story.
Mm-hmm.
It's set around 1893 with the World's Fair, and the book is based on the true tales of the architect behind the World's Fair in Chicago and then a serial killer who used the fair to lure victims. So
right,
I think
right.
The press killer would really dig that story and maybe find some connection with the killer in that story.
Yeah, it was a very popular book. A good, interesting story. So let's talk about the setting. Obviously, you're not set at the World Fair. Because you don't have it anymore. But what setting and how does your setting move your story forward?
Yeah, so the book cover for Hunted by a Killer is fantastic. I thought Harlequin Art Department did a great job in creating the visual. It's a shack kind of hidden in the bayou, and Hunted by a Killer is set in southern Louisiana in a fictional town called Press. And since the bodies of the victims of the killer were found around the city of Presque, the name was given to the serial killer, Presque Killer. And I use things that you would associate with Louisiana, like bayous, alligators, bugs, the heat, the humidity. It takes place in the summer. So to add depth and kind of interest to the story.
Mm-hmm.
And those elements are all things that Charlotte and Austin are kind of up against too while hunting for the serial killer.
Yeah, I love how we can use the settings like that to just evoke that added layer of tension and stress
mm-hmm.
as well with the.
Yeah.
So, what made you want to write this particular story?
So I am fascinated with true crime. So I listen to podcasts, watch TV shows, and I just find that's really interesting on how law enforcement solves those cases.
Mm-hmm.
And I like writing stories where bad things happen, but in the end, good prevails, and the bad guys are caught. And so I like to not only, focus on or your plot's driven by the bad guy, but I like to also bring attention to the victims. They always deserve a voice, even though maybe they're kind of pushed to the margins of the society, like the victims in my book, and also the good people, the detectives, the FBI agents, the helpers out there in our society that work kind of nonstop, really, to protect our community. So I think it makes me feel good that you have some sense of control or some sense of closure when these bad things happen, that you know that there's good people out there that will work to bring, justice to the victims.
Yeah, that's I like that. That's very nice. And what makes it fun to write these stories, because not every story has closure, but we can give ours. We can give
Correct.
Our characters closure.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, you hear something bad that happens in the news, and you would hope that they find the bad guy. But in our books, yeah, we get to make sure the bad guy's caught and justice prevails.
Yeah, so we're going to close our short time together with, what's one thing you want readers to know about Hunted by a Killer?
So Hunted by a Killer is a fast roller coaster ride, and I hope the readers will feel part of the story, will kind of work alongside Charlotte and Austin as they try to figure out the killer's identity before time runs out. They have 1 week to catch the killer, so it's not a lot of time, and lives are depending on them getting this guy locked away behind bars. So I hope the readers really enjoy the fast roller coaster ride of the story.
Well, thank you so much for sharing on my show today, Lori.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now I'm going to tell you about my latest romantic suspense novella, Christmas Cold Case. So if my heroine, Noelle, could have a pet, what would it be? She would have a dog, a nice friendly lab or collie if she could. Unfortunately, she couldn't have it when she was living in Boston with her great-great-aunt Mabel, because Mabel was allergic to canines. Now that she's alone in the world, kind of an orphan, and she wants to solve her parents' murder that happened 30 years ago, she feels like a dog would be a great companion to have. She wants to have that kind of interaction in the evenings and on long weekends. Let's switch to my hero, David. And he's an attorney, and his favorite snack would be mixed nuts and chocolate-covered raisins. He often eats lunch at his desk. He often needs a little pick-me-up in the morning or the afternoon because of his heavy caseload. So he likes that little protein and sweetness to keep him going. He keeps a jar on hand but out of sight, because he really doesn't like sharing his mixed nuts or chocolate-covered raisins. He wants to make sure that he doesn't run out when he really needs it, so he tries to keep it hidden from his coworkers. Now, for my villain in this story, I chose what's their favorite song or musical style. My villain enjoys listening to classical music and modern jazz, depending on their mood. They aren't likely to attend concerts, but instead they stream their favorites through an elaborate speaker system. They really love to have that clear, crisp sound, the music, and they find that classical or modern jazz kind of can really restore their equilibrium. Now, I do set some of my books in a town I made up. Christmas Cold Case is set in that town, in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, in the fictitious town of Twin Oaks. And I've used that in several other books. So if you've read my Love Inspired Suspense, Vanished Without a Trace, or my other Christmas novella, Mistletoe and Murder, you've become a little bit acquainted with Twin Oaks. And I really like this town that I got to create. If you're looking at a map of the Shenandoah Valley, Twin Oaks is about south of Harrisonburg, but not quite to Staunton along on Interstate 81. I added a quaint little B&B to the Twin Oaks that you'll see in Mistletoe and Murder, as well as some fun shops like the Pink Pig Restaurant and the Beanery Coffee Shop. Makes me want to go there myself, and you'll probably see this again in some other novellas that I have on tap to write. For me, the hardest part of writing this book was, as a novella, getting the romance and the mystery suspense balanced in 30,000 words. That's always challenging. I want my readers to find it believable that David and Noelle could be attracted to each other while trying to stay safe, and also have that mystery part developed enough that readers would be satisfied with the conclusion. That's always hard when you're writing a novella, because you have such a truncated timeline and word count. So trying to find that balance between the two, romance and suspense with the mystery thrown in, which I like to do, was very challenging. But I think I did it, and I think I had a pretty satisfying conclusion. One thing you should know about this book: if you read Holiday Menace, which is the novella collection I put together, a Christmas novella collection I put together last year, then you've read Christmas Cold Case. If you haven't, Christmas Cold Case is now available on its own, so I hope you'll pick it up. It's a fun thing to read, especially in the summer, because it does get cold in Virginia. And there's some fun Christmas stuff, obviously, as well. Now, I'll leave you with the tagline to Christmas Cold Case. All she wants for Christmas is to solve her parents' murders and stay alive. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you stick around for our final author in this July Quick Takes.
I'm delighted to be talking again with Amy Schussler. She is going to talk about her latest book, Seeking Space and Time. So welcome to my show, Amy.
Thanks, Sarah. I'm really excited to be here again.
Well, we're going to get started and talk about your heroine first. What did she want to be when she grew up, and did she actually become that person?
Actually, you won't know that until you get to the end of the book. Molly is a beloved character who's been in my last two books, the first two in this Chincoteague Sunset trilogy. And she started off as a 10-year-old child prodigy and went into high school instead of going into sixth grade, and then progressed from there through the next couple novels, always with the mind of doing something with space. And so at the beginning of this one, she graduates from Harvard, valedictorian, with offers from NASA, along with Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and all the big space agencies. And she's not so sure anymore that that's what she wants to do with her life.
Well, that will definitely put some tension in your book, I would think, if that's what she's been working on her whole life. So let's switch to your hero. Yeah, definitely. Hero, and talk about what is holding him back from finding love in your book.
Well, the hero is actually one of Molly's classmates from college and kind of her nemesis, for lack of a better word. He was valedictorian, so she beat him out for that, and he has spent their entire college career resenting her and takes this job with Wallops Flight Center, this little tiny NASA rocket center in Virginia, and figures he's never going to see Molly again, not realizing that she is from nearby Chincoteague Island and has been working at Wallops since she was 11 years old.
Oh, my goodness. That's hilarious. So yeah. I bet they are going to be sparks flying for there, isn't there?
Wrong kind of sparks for a long time.
Yeah. So let's talk about your villain. Who or what does your villain love the most in this book?
I would have to say himself. You don't know who the villain is until we get to the end. And it is somebody who has gone out on his own and is doing things to put himself in a better position in life without any regard to anybody else.
Yeah. Well, that can definitely trip us up. So let's talk about the setting. You mentioned all your books are set in a similar area. So how does that setting move the story forward?
All right. Well, this is the third book in my Chincoteague Sunsets trilogy. And all of the books take place on Chincoteague Island. But there is also this connection with the Wallops Island Flight Center. So the characters either live there at the center if they're the interns like the hero, or they all live on the island. And so it's really a place where some of them have grown up, some of them are new, but the setting helps them to grow, to learn. Really, for Molly, it's going home again after being in boarding school and then going to college, and now coming back and really trying to figure out who she is. And it's the people on the island, the surroundings, that community, that are really going to help her figure out who she is. And the work at Wallops Flight Center for both Molly and Dustin will help them figure out exactly what it is they want to do with the rest of their lives.
So why this particular story, Amy? Why did you want to write this particular story?
Well, ever since Seeking Tranquility came out a few years ago, I have had readers contact me, many readers, saying, "We love Molly." She was never the focus of either of the other two books. She was just another character in the books. And everybody just fell in love with her and said, "We want to see what happens. Don't end the trilogy without us knowing what happens to Molly." So in order to do that, I actually had to bump the book up by 5 years so that I could make her an adult, ready to explore what's going to happen next in her life.
So we have just time for one more question, Amy. What is one thing you want readers to know about Seeking Space and Time?
Gosh, I really want them to know that this book is for them, that these are characters that that they really loved and have asked for more, particularly Molly, but also going back to my first trilogy and pulling out the characters that everybody really loved there and showing what they're doing now and giving everybody a glimpse of their lives. So it really is a friend of mine, another writer, told me once that I don't really write romance, I write love stories. And it's more about love between individuals, families, communities. This is my love story for the readers.
Ah, that's lovely. Well, thank you so much for sharing about Seeking Space and Time.
Sure. Thank you so much for letting me tell everybody about it.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.